Warning, the Stone Age Gamer includes a lot of bad language. Cover your mother f***ing ears.
Good evening, you're listening to the Stone Age Gamer Podcast for the week of June 12th, 2017. I'm your host this evening, Dan Ryan, and joining me, not as always, but, well, I mean, as always, I suppose, when I'm hosting, my hashtag hot sexy wife, Tiffany Ryan.
Wow. Hi.
What, that wasn't good? You want me to do something different? I mean, I can, it's fine. Evan can edit all around this. No, we're doing it live. It's excellent. It's E3 week, and you know what that means. As is tradition here on the Stone Age Gamer Podcast, we are going to go through our reactions to the, I want to say big show, but it wasn't, spoilers, it wasn't, I didn't feel like that big of a show this year. But we're going to react to it nonetheless.
That is also the impression that I was left with. When it was all said and done and we had watched everything we were going to watch, I just sort of felt like,
Yes, I was decidedly whelmed. Not overly or underly so, just whelmed.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Okay. Before we get into all that, though, this is your weekly reminder. Let's see, how does Chris do this? This is your weekly reminder that you, yes, you, can drop us a line at mail@geekade.com and tell us what you like about the show, what you want to hear on the show, topics you'd like to be discussed in the future, because we always want to hear from you, the listener. It's something like that. I should probably listen to the show more. Anyway, regardless, mail@geekade.com if you want to get in touch with any of us. With that out of the way, let's go ahead and jump right in with Nintendo's E3 conference. Now, last year at E3, Nintendo brought Breath of the Wild. And that's it. Like, that's all they brought. This year, a couple weeks ago, they had a Pokemon Nintendo Direct, and it was like, oh, I don't know what they're going to bring, you know, other than Super Mario Odyssey to E3. And this year, they brought a bunch of stuff. They had a relatively interesting little video presentation with Reggie in a digital apartment.
I did enjoy the virtual apartment. You know what? I'm going to disagree with you a little bit, because while I think the show was fine, I, again, was just a little whelmed. I know that this is an off year for consoles, so I know that they don't go quite so ham when they don't have a console launch. But I didn't think it was, because it was a video package, it wasn't a stage show.
Right.
And so I felt that it was a little diminished. And having said that, I don't necessarily know that I feel like that's a bad thing, because I will say that in years past on Nintendo, I get a lot of, okay, weird old Japanese guys, stop playing with toys and let's get to what we're here for. You know, like, I sort of feel...
Right, there was no Wii Music moment this time. Right. There was no Wii Music, there was no health monitor to be like, what the fuck is that? That is not at all what I expected to see. So... Let's talk about what they did show. First, and you're going to have to move the microphone away from your mouth a little bit because I can hear myself. Like, it's weird.
Thank you.
Technical problems, sorry. So first, one of the things that Nintendo announced was a really adorable looking new Yoshi game that looks to be, like, all the backgrounds look like they were made out of, like, cardboard boxes and, like, construction paper. And
yeah, it looks like Little Big Planet.
Yeah, very, very similar vibe kind of to Little Big Planet. It looked cute. I liked it. I showed the girls, our kids, the trailers for the Nintendo stuff today, and they were very much into it. Like, it seems very aimed.
Well, naturally.
Yeah.
It's Nintendo. If we brought the kids in and they were like, meh, they're doing something really wrong.
That's a good point. But they really liked that one, and they really liked the Kirby trailer, which, now, I'm not entirely familiar with Kirby, but it seemed to be a remake of the first one with some added four-player capability.
I don't know that it's a remake. It's definitely in that style. It definitely
is. A reimagining, perhaps?
What, what struck me is I sort of feel like with these two titles in particular, and what made me kind of excited a little bit for the Switch in areas that I haven't been before, is I almost got like a reboot kind of vibe of like, you know, we're not making Kirby's Woolly Adventure Face Part 12, you know, like it's just Yoshi. It's just Kirby. There's not.
Kirby's Woolly Adventure Face Parts 1 through 11 were such blockbuster runaway smashes.
Well, and I granted, but I appreciate the return to roots, as it were. And especially the reason that I do is because, and I may be alone on this, but I am not jiving on Mario Odyssey.
Mm-hmm.
So having that, and I say familiar, and it, obviously this Yoshi game doesn't look anything like what we're used to. I mean, I suppose there's some similarities with Woolly World of having that kind of crafty kind of background, but even though it doesn't, aesthetically, it's not original. It feels very throwbacky, and it feels very classic.
It felt a lot like looking at an old school Nintendo game. Like they were trying to make something to appease fans like Chris that have been Nintendo fans their whole life, and as well as appeal to a younger demographic that might getting into the Switch for the first time.
That's kind of what I took it as. I sort of took it as we are recognizing that the Nintendo generation is grown up, and they have now birthed the new Nintendo generation.
Right.
So here we have a new system. We're going to start with all of this, and we're going to give them the original experience that you had, obviously with much more technical capability, and it's beautiful, and these are gorgeous, gorgeous games. But as far as the like feel, they just felt very nostalgic.
Yeah, well, and to your point, as now, I think we can officially say with what you just did a second ago, Chris is no longer the queen of segues. You are now the queen of segues. When we talk about Super Mario Odyssey, they showed a big long trailer for that. There was some more gameplay footage shown later. And this is not a traditional Mario game as I'm saying it out loud, I suppose it is as traditional as Sunshine and Galaxy and Galaxy 2. The weird thing about this trailer, like, for those of you who haven't seen it yet, and I'm not sure that that's anyone who listens to this podcast, but if you haven't seen the trailer or can't exactly remember, the weirdest moments to me in this were Mario throwing his hat, his now anthropomorphized hat, and it, like, him almost taking possession of
people
in New York and cars and a dinosaur.
And Bullet Bill and Chain Chomps and, yeah, like, whatever his hat lands on, he can become that for a few minutes or however long that works. And
so
that,
Mario's a succubus now? Like, he's like a soul-stealing demon? Because that's kind of cool, and now I'm back on. Like, I'm back into Mario.
Mario has evolved significantly over its lifespan, obviously. I mean, you look at the original Super Mario Brothers and then look at the Super Mario Wii U. Like, they're worlds apart. Obviously, they're worlds apart. But with every new addition, additional dynamic, gameplay dynamic that they've brought into it, be it the suit that that give them different abilities and whatnot, you know, the kitty suit and Wii U, all that kind of stuff felt very natural in the progression of Mario's life, and the a lot of the big buttons. There's a lot of button work in Mario now. I feel that, like, you press this button and then that does a thing, and then you go press the other, like, the big platform button,
right.
That all felt very natural. Like, it all seemed like, yeah, okay, this all sort of, I'm still going with this world. This hat thing feels strange to me. Like, this
it's
is
weird.
Not a dynamic that I would expect from this. Like, it just feels very strange. And I sort of feel like it's a really awesome concept, and it actually looks like really cool and interesting and fun gameplay. And it just made me kind of think, you know, Nintendo, it doesn't have to be a Mario game. Like, if you come up with a cool idea for a game, it doesn't have to be Mario. Like, you could come up with a new game, because this is a cool dynamic, but I sort of feel like it wasn't, I wish it wasn't Mario doing it.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. And I think, you know, my dislike of the Mario franchise is well documented on this show. It's just never been my thing. And it should be no surprise that this was the game that Nintendo showed that I was the least excited about. Mm-hmm. But if this was the if this was the one thing that I could look at and be like, eh, this is the one that doesn't really do it for me, Nintendo's doing something right, I feel. Because
you're
the
right.
other stuff
right.
they showed was really awesome. I mean, the Yoshi game looked great. The Kirby game looked great. Even though it was only a screen in space with the words Metroid Prime 4.
Yeah, that's enough.
That's enough. Like, Metroid Prime 4 being confirmed for the Switch is huge. Like, this is the console that Nintendo needs to be a success. They need this to stay relevant. And as much as, you know, we've dealt with the Metroid Prime franchise on the show, I've well documented my issues with the motion controls, and maybe that's just some me shit, but if there are multiple ways to control Metroid Prime 4, like if I can play this with a pro controller, then I'm in, and I'm officially excited for it.
I'm sure it will be. That actually brings up another point, though, that I wanted to touch on in this, is that for the first time since they announced it, I'm still not like, ooh, we have to have this thing, but I am much closer than I ever have been. I can actually see myself like owning one. I get the feeling now that it's inevitable. However, where I felt like they missed a little bit here, and maybe this goes back more to it should have been a part of their initial planning, was that I'm watching through the show and I'm thinking, okay, I think that these things are enough to get me to get one. So let me look around. Kirby 2018, Yoshi 2018, like everything that, you know, Metroid coming soon to
eventually,
development. Yeah, like
at
that
some point we'll get to it.
There was nothing that they did that made me think we're getting one of these for Christmas. Like, you know what I mean? Because the things that they're doing that I'm like, okay, I'm excited about that. If we got one this year, it would just sit over there until next year when these things came out. So it doesn't, I don't think they got a win as far as driving instant sales kind of thing of like, I'm leaving the show and ordering one. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because
yeah,
while I do now officially want one, I don't see any reason to get one before like next summer.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the thing, the stuff that would have convinced me to buy it. Like they also announced that there will be a for real mainline Pokemon title, RPG style coming to the Switch at some point in the future. Definitely not this year. Like
and
our kids
enough,
are super into Pokemon.
Yeah.
That's enough for us to get it. If they had said Punch Out this year, pro wrestling this year, Kid Icarus this year, a title like that, and we'd be having a serious conversation around the holidays of, is this something that we want to get with the knowledge that these other things are coming? Super Mario Odyssey isn't for us, and that's fine. I'm sure people are going to love it. I'm sure it's going to be a great game. They don't make bad Mario games, really. It's just not for us. We're going
to
play Breath of the Wild on the Wii U.
Yeah, none of the Mario games have been for us. So that, like, that's...
Right.
While I will say that I'm finding it very off-putting just in the trailers, I'm not going to say that you lost yourself a sale, because I think we have one of the recent Mario games, and that's because it came with the Wii U. Or we might have bought it with the Wii U because that's what was out at the time or whatever. And like the weird thing about those is I really like watching Let's Plays. Like there are a couple of YouTubers that I particularly care for that do Let's Plays of the Mario games when they come out. And I enjoy the shit out of that. I love watching the game. They're gorgeous to look at. They're interesting. They're cool. They have like cute, funny stories. Like, I'm in every time. But then when it actually sits down to like, you want to play some Mario? I'm like, eh, no.
Nope. So, not a thing I'm into.
So I don't know. I mean, I don't know what that means, really. I don't know if that's common. I don't know. I mean, it's weird.
Yeah, it's just not for us.
I have a lot of love for Mario. I have a lot of love for the franchise. But when it actually comes down to, and honestly, I feel this way a little bit about Nintendo across the board. I mean, we over the years, we have had every Nintendo system. We have purchased many games for them and games that I am legitimately excited for. And then we actually get them and I sit down and I'm like, eh. And it's not that they're bad games. It just doesn't hold me.
Yeah, you tried. Like, to be fair, with our Wii U, you tried. Well, no, you're wonderful. Stop it. We tried to get in to whatchamacallit. We tried to get into Splatoon. Like, you were hyped for Splatoon.
I was so hyped for Splatoon.
It just didn't grab you. So, and maybe that'll be the case with the Switch. I do think you're right, though. I do think at some point we are going to end up with one. I do want to end up our talk about Nintendo, though, with one last thing, not announced for the Switch, but announced for the 3DS, coming on the trails of, or on the heels, anyway, of last year's AM2R, another Metroid 2 remake that finally came out and was absolutely amazing. Nintendo announced at E3 that they themselves will now be making an official 3DS Metroid 2 remake, which is great news. Samus Returns. Not everybody is going to have played AM2R, even though it was free to download for like a day, and it's the internet, so nothing like really goes away, really. You can still go find a copy, even though it was pulled down 12 to 24 hours after it was released out into the wild. It's a phenomenal remake, and Chris and I have talked about how the game is great. It's an amazing game and an amazing achievement for a very small team to be able to put together, but it's missing like just that little thing that separates Nintendo made games from everything else.
That little bit of Nintendo magic.
That little bit of magic. So if this one has that little bit of Nintendo magic and they do something like cool and interesting with it, they did say in the, like E3 was doing the Colosseum thing where they were talking to developers and whatnot. They were saying that the 3D mode looked really cool on this, and that will be something that I'll definitely want to check out like when we pick this up, because they haven't really pushed the 3D aspect of the 3DS in quite a while. Right. But for Metroid, it could look really cool, adding some depth to the backgrounds and whatnot. I don't know. It looked pretty sweet. So Nintendo came out to E3 and they were like, so the Switch is doing pretty well. ARMS looks pretty dope. And oh yeah, we're going to release two new Metroid games. And you're going to get two Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild DLC packs. So
those
give us your money.
Good. Yeah, they did look good. Good.
They did. And Rocket League. Rocket League finally coming to a Nintendo yeah. console with Mario hats.
And I've got all of my fingers crossed that the new exclusive special secret cars that they didn't tell you what they were going to be. I am so hoping that they are the Mario Kart cars.
They have to be.
I don't know if they're going to be able to make that dynamic work, but I want that so bad. So bad I want that. But again, like, I want to watch that.
Yeah, I don't really want to play it. I really like Rocket League, but I am nowhere near good enough to play online any longer.
What I want to say to Nintendo is, like, you could save yourself a lot of time and effort by just making a show. I'll watch your show.
Just have somebody else do this. It's fine. All right, so Nintendo had a really good show. On a grade school grading system, what would you give the show, A through F?
I'm going to give it a B+. I felt like it was a solid showing. They had great games to come with. I was excited about everything that they were doing. I found it very unusual that they did not do a stage show.
Well, to be fair, they haven't done that in a few years, but this year, I thought maybe they might do something different. I mean, they had announced that they were just like doing the videos and they do their own kind of Nintendo-y thing. And it seems really to be working for him. Like, so
sure. And honestly, I'm so like weird with Nintendo because I say that I was disappointed that they didn't do a stage show, but I don't really like their stage shows because most of the time I just like, you're making all of us feel really awkward about the level at which you speak English. And I don't want to feel awkward about that. But it's also hard for you to have a translator in a live situation. But I don't really want actors either. Like, I love that the people that are involved actually do it. But I'm feeling really awkward about your level of English proficiency. So I'm not crazy about the stage shows. But I still, like, I just kind of feel like that's not, you're kind of cheating a little.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would go a B plus as well. That seems to be a fair grade. So let's jump from Nintendo over to the other mostly video show, and that was the Sony show, the one that I was the most excited for.
Yeah,
and the Sony show basically consisted of a bunch of game trailers, 2 minutes of Sean Layton coming out talking about some shit, another 45 minutes of game trailers. Another few minutes of Sean Layton talking about some shit, and then a couple more game trailers, and then that was it. Like, it was an hour. It was quick and dirty. And
that was very weird.
Well, now, to be fair, Sony is at the top right now. They don't have new hardware that they're announcing this year. Like, last year was PS4 Pro and PSVR. They don't have new hardware that they're announcing. And they also have the PlayStation Experience at the end of the year. They did announce that PlayStation Experience was coming back, and it'll be in Los Angeles in December. Like, and that's kind of their thing now. So,
but if that ends up happening where everyone has, like, there's the Nintendo Direct, and there's the PlayStation Experience, and there's whatever the hell Xbox does, because who cares? And, like,
hey, we are and unbiased journalists.
Microsoft's a big fan of the show. Are you sure?
Yeah, sure.
But I feel like if we keep doing this, like, I'm not going to see a lot of point for E3. And that's a real shame because I think that E3, while most of this is just, look at how big my willy is. No, look at how big my willy is. Like, while most of it is that, I feel like E3 gives indie developers a shot that they maybe wouldn't get otherwise. And if E3 stops being the draw because they start bitching out on their shows like this, that's going to only hurt the independent industry.
Well, Sony does have a lot of their independent developers come out for the PlayStation Experience, and they do like an indie focus there.
Yeah, but that's that's their independent developers.
Yeah,
this is what I'm saying. Without E3, nobody gets to be their independent developers. You know what I mean?
Right. The Xbox fans or the Nintendo fans might not necessarily be checking out the PlayStation Experience live stream. Yeah.
Well,
that's fair.
E3 for indies, I feel, is more about getting the big three's eyes on their products than it is about getting the general public eyes on their products. You know, they're going there auditioning, basically. They're going there asking for a job.
Right, here's the game that we have coming out. Maybe you'll publish it, or maybe you'll think of us for the next game.
Maybe, maybe we'll do something together. Yeah, like that is much. I mean, E3 is an industry conference. That's what it was designed for. It's no different than an office supply conference. It just so happens that
it's much more exciting than an office supply conference.
Well, sure, there's more.
Well, I don't actually. I don't know. I've never been to an office supply conference.
I've been to five. I have.
Why am I finding out new shit about my wife on the podcast? That's fucked up.
Yeah, my stepfather owned an office supply store, so I've been to 5 office supply conferences.
Were they exciting?
Some of them were exciting. I don't recall any pyrotechnics. I did have a giant inflatable Bic pin for a while, and that was pretty dope.
Check out our new fucking filing cabinet, and there's just big-titted girls and bikinis, like, shaking it around this big metal filing cabinet.
There's more that than you would expect.
really? Because I mean, if there's
that there's very much. That's what I'm saying. There's not very much of it, but it is more than you would expect.
I expect
in the cutthroat world of office supplies. but it's an industry conference. It's supposed to be for each other, for them to network and talk to each other. And if we start focusing so much on these individual little shows, I feel like that's really going to do a lot of people a disservice. So that is why the PlayStation 1 bugged me. Now, having said that, I am so excited about the games.
Yeah.
Like, so, I fully agree that those games stood on their own. Uh-huh. And I couldn't tell if they were just kind of bitching out of this because they didn't have hardware to announce, so they really just didn't do much, or if they were just, like, kind of mic-dropping Xbox of, like, we don't have to, I don't need Pyrotechnics. I don't need to pay people to come out here and talk. Look at the fucking games we have. Are you serious? I don't need to convince anybody to get these. This is, we've got a new Shadow of Colossus, motherfuckers. Like, you don't even, I don't need to do anything special about this.
How out of control was that? So that was like one of the big surprises that nobody had talked about. Not a Shadow of the Colossus remaster, but a full on
sequel
remake. Like, it is a full remake of Shadow of the Colossus, a game that is beautiful and phenomenal and this amazing experience, but is nigh unplayable when it first came out on the PS2. And the HD remaster was better, but still not great. This was a game that was made about 15 years too early. This needs to be on the PS4 Pro, and this is going to be a phenomenal fucking experience. I cannot wait for that. So that was great. Uncharted: The Lost Legacy, the new game focusing on Chloe, looks incredible.
I am happy. I obviously there was a lot more to that than we've ever seen before, but I'm happy that that was announced ahead of time, and I'm happy that that previous little bit that was released for like walking through the market thing was released ahead of time, because while I do agree that these games look incredible and Sony is up to some amazing things, they might want to pay a little more attention to their AV department, because we didn't hear the
first
audio
trailers
on the first 2.5 trailers. And that Uncharted thing looked really cool. And I'm sure if we could have heard what they were saying, it would have been awesome.
Yeah, you're right. The trailer for Uncharted Lost Legacy, then they showed the new DLC expansion that's coming for the Frozen Lands, which is coming for Horizon Zero Dawn.
Right.
Their wildly successful exclusive that they've had this year, which we still haven't played, but we'll get to eventually because we're cheap and it's not $30 yet. that looked really cool, but you couldn't hear it. And then the third trailer they showed was for Days Gone, which is a new game, a new IP coming from them that looks to be like a biker gang manipulating zombies.
Yeah, and that was weird. I mean, cool weird. Like, I was interested. I didn't start off being interested.
It wasn't until the zombie bear
showed up, and I was like, oh, damn, okay.
All right, a zombie bear, fuck them in. Well, the part that they showed that was really cool, like, so many zombie games are just about, like, the horde coming at you or trying to sneak around and avoid the horde. And in this one, this was more of this game than we've ever seen so far. So there was a moment where you're trying to rescue your buddy, and the way that the main character distracted the bad guys, quote unquote, was by blowing up a retaining wall.
Well, you should specify that the zombies are not the bad guys.
Right. They don't appear to be the bad guys. They're just a
thing that happens,
a thing
in the
that's
world?
There.
It's like it's almost like there's become like rival factions, like Mad Max style rival factions.
Right.
We're obviously not in full Mad Max mode here, but that's what it seems to be. And they've like captured one of your guys, so you have to try and get him back.
And he does that by blowing up a retaining wall that is not retaining water, but is retaining a zombie horde. And that part looked really cool. That part I was like,
using them as a weapon.
Yeah.
Is a really cool concept. Now, it's also possible that that's the only time in that game that you do that.
Right.
That's not actually a part of the dynamic, that's just one little scene. But it certainly warrants paying attention to as it comes out, and I'm interested to see more about it.
Yeah, it's something to keep an eye on. They also showed some stuff
for
Destiny.
Wait. We have to back up a little bit, because before they even got to the, like, I hesitate to say the real games because that sounds kind of shitty, but before they got to the meat of it with the Uncharted thing and whatnot, they did three games at the beginning, the three silly games at the beginning. And the first one was Tropico.
at the conference before the conference, the little like
before they got to the actual, like, it's so, and that's
like
what I'm
Tropico
saying, like,
six
Tropico six. I hesitate to say like before they got to the stage show, because it wasn't much of a stage show. But what was exciting about that little bit of it was Undertale.
Yeah, Undertale for PS4 and Vita in color, mm-hmm. along with a Japanese localization. Now, we've played it, and I still don't get it.
I don't understand it all. But the kids love it.
They really do. They're really into it. So that we'll end up buying that and playing it with them. Cause,
like, I feel like we've officially gotten to this point where we're like, I don't understand what these kids are playing.
Fuck. We're old. Because
I don't understand. That game... Like, I feel like I'm in fourth grade computer lab playing that game. Like, I'm like, this yeah. is, like, I just, and maybe we're just not far enough in, and maybe I just don't get it, you know? Like, maybe I'm just missing it or whatever, but it didn't grab me, and I was really surprised that the kids were into it, because I was like, this shit looks like Oregon Trail. Like, what are we doing here? Like,
yeah, it's...
do you realize the magic that is the Wii U sitting over here when you want to play Oregon Trail? Like, what's happening? But that's very exciting.
That's
kind of what I was saying about, you know, the obviously that wasn't an E3 type thing, but that's the kind of thing I'm saying, where people make these little games like this that, you know, people get super excited about when they get to see them, and that gets the attention. And I mean, in what world does a game like this come out on fucking PlayStation? Like, that's crazy.
Right. Not only PS4, but PS Vita as well. Portable Undertale is pretty cool. I think if you're into it, like Sony was like, we'll put this on PS4 and oh fuck, Vita, that's a thing we have too. Let's put it on that. Cause like it's a tiny little game, like it doesn't require a lot of processing power or anything, but that might be a thing that really pushes the Vita. I don't know. So okay, yeah. So we had those, and then we got to the three games to open the show.
Yeah, so three games open the show, and then Sean comes out. And
says some shit.
It was definitely a dig. His little, you know, hype moment there was all about the games. We're all about the games. So it was definitely a dig at Xbox. I felt of like, ooh, you got your big fancy thing, but there's fuck all to play on it. So so we win. So I definitely that's how I kind of felt about his little speech, is because he was like, I don't really have to say much to you because you know we have the best games.
Yeah.
Well, and then he and left they again them. And we got 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. So he walks off and we get 14 straight trailers in a row. No break, no commentary, no talking. 14
just game trailers.
Just game trailers in a row.
Give me the list. We'll go one by one.
Okay. We started off with Monster Hunter, which
Monster Hunter, hugely successful in Japan, like biggest fucking game in Japan. There
was
a version
that
came out a couple years ago.
I was excited when I saw that it was Monster Hunter, because I do
remember.
I do have positive feelings about Monster Hunter. However, that was quite possibly the worst trailer I've ever seen in my life.
It wasn't great. It was very boring for
terrible.
Sections of it. Yeah.
It was terrible. It was just random snippets of bits of the game, but no exposition, no nothing. It was just random clips of the game. And there was a dinosaur that had like a whole lot of shit that kept coming out of him. Like his nose got big, and then there were wings, and then there were spikes, and it was like, stuff needs to stop coming out of this dinosaur. But like, it just, there was nothing. It was awful. It was the worst trailer I've ever seen.
It wasn't great. Honestly, the thing that got me the most hyped about seeing that Monster Hunter trailer was the fact that that means that the Monster Hunter and Puzzle and Dragons collaboration that happened in Japan is far more likely to happen in North America now.
Okay, I'm going to move on from that line.
Okay, move on.
I refuse to talk about that. Okay, so next was Shadow of the Colossus.
Incredible surprise.
That hit really well, because Monster Hunter was such a terrible trailer. I was like, well, this isn't starting off well. And I was just kind of, And then the trailer started and you started seeing some things. And I think it was round about the same time that you and I were both like, oh my God, is this Shadow of the Colossus? Like, oh my God, really? No. Did you know about
gorgeous.
This? I didn't know about this.
Gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous looking.
And then they followed that immediately up with Marvel vs. Capcom, which is another big hit. I personally am having some views about Marvel versus Capcom. I think the game looks good. I'm going to say, I want to try and say this the right way. I am underwhelmed by the art in the game. It looks
exactly like the last Marvel versus Capcom. And I think if we lived in a world where, spoilers for when we talk about Xbox, the Dragon Ball FighterZ game did not exist, I'd be much more excited. But after seeing that and how stunning it looked,
I look at it and it completely killed all
my hype for Marvel versus Capcom. But we'll talk about that when we get to Xbox. It's a multi-platform game, the Dragon Ball game, but it was
Talking about it. We're going to talk about it later.
Okay.
Shut up.
I'm sorry.
So I watched that and I feel like I'm looking at maybe an upscale of an older game. Like I feel like the graphics.
I have said this before.
And I got shouted down every time I've said it of you're crazy. It looks great, but I don't feel like it looks great. And there's also some things in it. They've made some choices that I don't really understand. Like Rocket and Groot are in it, and they are very obviously the Rocket and Groot from the movie. Rocket's got the orange jumpsuit on. The Groot, I mean, how many different ways can you make a tree look, I guess? But they very much look like the Rocket and Groot from the movie. But Gamora is not only does she look nothing like the movie, and maybe this had something to do with Zoe Saldana and like image rights and things like that, but not only does she not look anything like what she looks like in a movie, but it's not even a typical look for her. Like, it's not like it's...
It wasn't great.
The look that she always has in the comics. Like, it, like she was talking, and I was like, who the hell is that? And then they said something to her and used her name, and I was like, what the what? That's not Gamora. I know what Gamora looks like. That's not Gamora. So if they weren't going to go with the movie look, that's fine, but I feel like they should have picked a more traditional, usual look for her so that, you know, we recognize that's who she is.
Yeah. That's fair.
And that's kind of nitpicky, but it's that kind of stuff that really just takes me out of it. Of like, you know, your graphics look like, you know, like 5 years old and you made some weird stylistic choices and...
Not a great look.
Yeah. Having said that, we've gone through a little bit of it and played the demo and, you know, like that kind of thing. And
it was fun.
It's fun. I'm not saying I don't want it, but there's that one's just not bowling me over the way that it is other people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Marvel vs. Capcom. Then we go Call of Duty. After that, which
back to World War II looks fun.
It's a Call of Duty game, so you know. It is a perfectly adequate Call of Duty game, it looks like. I personally am well over Nazis. I sort of feel like as like a population, we could agree to move the fuck on at this point. But whatever. That also, there were some stylistic things in that. Like at one point, one of the characters is wearing a helmet that's got the netting over it. And that... It just... Some of the stuff didn't seem... authentic. And if we're doing this like World War II, we're doing this, like I feel like you should put some research in and make sure that all of this stuff is correct. And there were a couple of things where I was like, that seems a little anachronistic, but perfectly adequate Call of Duty. If that is still your jam, it will still be your jam, I'm sure. Okay, so then they did the VR stuff. They switched over to the VR games. So first one up, I'm sure people worldwide are super stoked for this. We didn't happen to really get into this game, but I can certainly see the draw of a virtual reality Skyrim. Like, that mm-hmm. sounds like a great idea.
Oh, and something we forgot to mention for the Switch. There's a Nintendo version of Skyrim coming where you can get Link's clothes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's like some DLC and shit that you can like marry that stuff together, which is cool.
Yeah, people love Skyrim. We tried it and didn't care for it, but we are very much in the minority on that.
Right, right. I will agree with that. And I do see the draw of it. It just didn't happen to work out for us very well. But I thought it was kind of cool that they did that because Skyrim is kind of known for, kind of popular for these third party mods that people do of, you know, turning the dragon into a My Little Pony and, you know, and crap like that. Like it's
fun. Objectively awesome. Like that part is actually, there's no question that turning the dragons in Skyrim into My Little Pony is fantastic.
But I thought them doing the Zelda content and like clothing options and things like that, I thought that that was a nice bit of service to the fans of like, we know that this is something that y'all people like. So here you go, boo. Okay, so after Skyrim was Starchild.
That looked pretty cool.
That did look cool. I was excited to see start seeing some VR games that looked like video games.
And not tech demos.
Right. You know, like, or even just like, you know, you're in a square room with a square table and a square box on the, with a square button in it. You know, like they've been very simplistic. And I understand that any time that we switch to a new technology, we're going to go backwards a little bit. And I get that. But games have just gotten so good that's hard for me. You know what I mean? It's hard for me to go so far back. So I'm very excited to start seeing them actually look like legitimate video games now and not like super polygony and like that kind of crap. So the next one, I haven't really been super sold on the VR thing. It's expensive. It's new. I try to shy away from these like super new things right at the beginning until they can get their bugs worked out. But this game really makes me kind of want it. It makes me want it soon. This game is called The Impatient, and it is virtual reality first person horror game.
This was the this is a prequel to Until Dawn, which we still have to finish.
And that, like, that's going to be, like, the most amazing thing ever, or I'm not going to be able to get through, like, 5 minutes of it and be like, oh, my God, I'm scared. So I'm super excited about that because I have always had an affinity towards horror games. I have an affinity towards horror across the board, and I want so much from a horror game, but just the fundamental limitations of a video game makes that difficult. It's hard to do it to where it is legitimately horror and it's not, you know, cheesy and stupid and whatnot. And the leaps that have been made just in the last year or so in the horror department are so wonderful. And I'm so excited about it. And a VR horror like that is just, that is my dream come true. So I'm super excited about that. Okay, so the next one, I don't understand. I don't understand. To me, I felt like PlayStation just turned into the original Wii. I was like, what are we doing here? It's the Final Fantasy fishing game.
It's fun. It's fun. Final Fantasy Monster of the Deep, where you catch like ridiculous fish.
Okay, but tell me that this doesn't harken back to like original Wii Sports and shit.
It kind of
like
does.
We're fishing, really.
It kind of does. So but that I was that doesn't like, mean eh. It's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. Let's let's be honest. It's
and
gonna
and
suck,
again,
but
the graphics on it weren't stellar. I mean, you're obviously picking the best of the best of the best to show off here, and there was a lot of collision detection issues in the trailer and. I was just like, I don't really understand why we're doing this. I sort of feel like that was done as a test run to see what we can get this thing to do. And then they were like, all right, just put it out and put some Final Fantasy characters in it.
Ah, fuck it. Just put it out. Yeah. We're sending it out this way.
So the next one was Bravo Team Shooter.
Looks fine.
It does. It's a shooter. I have some ethical concerns about VR shooters.
It's a little close to home.
That feels real distasteful. And I'm probably splitting hairs here because I'm not one of the ones that are like, oh, violence in video games and whatnot, but this one just feels like a little
I don't know. To be fair, we are watching House of Cards season 5 right now, so that might be coloring your opinion of it.
Spoilers. I don't know. I find that a little distasteful. I don't know. Maybe I'm just an old lady now. Right. So then there was
rapid fire with the rest, because okay, we're starting to run long already.
The last VR game I'm super duper excited about is Moss. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful looking game. I don't know what we saw of it. I don't know how that correlates to gameplay, because typically in VR you're in a first person type situation, and this was not a first person trailer. So I don't know if we're just seeing an actual trailer or if this actually was what we can expect from the gameplay. But it's a tiny little adorable mouse, and you know, there's all kinds of it's just full of whimsy, and
it looked to me like you were manipulating the environment for the mouse to
possibly
walk around in.
Possibly. So like I don't know. I couldn't get a good feel of the gameplay, but the aesthetic and the look of it was more than enough to get me interested.
I was really intrigued by it. Like, it looked really cool.
Yeah, it was really beautiful. So then, okay, so we switch back to regular game, still no Sean yet, and then we have God of War.
Best game of the show. Best thing I saw all week, which I knew it was going to be, okay, being a fan of God of War, but God damn it, this game looks out of control. Like, this whole trailer showed more of the combat, showed the relationship of Kratos and his kid, and fucking had Jormungandr, the world serpent, who brings about Ragnarok. Like, we know that this is taking place with the Norse gods. And the fact that Jormungandr wants to help Kratos, like, oh God, it was just awesome.
Yeah, I will agree. It was a really kick-ass trailer. I liked it a lot. But I will say that there was no way that this wasn't going to be your game of the show.
Oh no, that's
you're such a big fan of this series.
Yeah,
you're so into fucking Vikings and shit like that. And
they made this game for me.
There was no way that this wasn't going to be great. However, I will see your God of War, and I will raise you Detroit: Becoming Human.
That game does look pretty awesome, where you are not only part of the robot uprising,
let's back it up again and just shut up. Let's back it up a bit and we'll do it how they did it, because the trailer was really, really brilliant, I thought, because you go through this trailer and it's obviously in a future world. There's obviously some kind of, like, you know, uniformity and conformity and all this kind of stuff. And you hear this voiceover and these two characters are talking. And they're like, they're planning to break into a place. And what it seems like, the impression that I got, is that you are in some way being controlled by the government, of whether the suit that you're in monitors you, or you have some kind of like biometric monitoring or something. But I got the impression you're being controlled by the government, and we're maybe trying to break free of that control. And through the course of the trailer, what it turns out is you are a robot. It's not that the robots are out there. It's that all of the talk that they're doing in the trailer of, like, they're coming after us and they're doing this and they're doing that, that you think that they're talking about the robots, and it turns out that they are the robots and they're talking about the humans. And that just totally blew my little mind. I wasn't expecting it. Like, it was like they M. Night Shyamalan'd me, and I fell for it hard. It looks awesome. I am so excited to play it. There's like a bigger thing to it. Like, aside from the fact that that's a cool story, it seems like it seems very similar to like Infamous, things like that, where you decisions that you make determine how this goes. You know, you can either lead the violent robot uprising where you kill all the humans, or you can go a diplomatic route and try to secure the freedom of your people, kind of thing. Like you make a lot of different choices along the way that determines where this goes. And that's, I'm kind of digging that style of game, that like, there is a focus on the gameplay and making the gameplay interesting and dynamic and whatnot, but there's also a real heavy focus on the story. And I feel like video games are starting to go to a really awesome place in terms of storytelling and making this more of an interactive experience, an interactive, almost like a movie that you're in control of or something, but way more so than like a Telltale game. Like that I see as like choose your own adventure novels. These I feel are more like interactive movies. Like, I can decide if I'm going to be the bad guy or I'm going to be the good guy, and how this is going to go down. and also of just all the little intricate choices that you can make that change things along the way. I just find that fascinating. So I am super excited about this game.
Yeah, it does look really awesome.
So right after that was Destiny 2, which
meh.
It's Destiny 2.
Yeah, it's not
once
for
again,
me.
Once again, if Destiny is your jam, it will probably still be your jam. So Sean comes out a little bit and he's like, so that's pretty much our show, blah, blah, blah. We got one last thing to show you. And then.
Oh, and then. Oh, Spider-Man.
Doing
literally whatever a spider can and more in this trailer.
It was
basically
amazing.
Doing
was
what
amazing.
Spider-Man and Batman can in the Arkham Asylum series.
Yeah, like it really felt like people played, somebody along the line played Arkham Asylum and went, how come Batman's acting like Spider-Man? Ooh, let's make a Spider-Man.
a lot of quick time events in the trailer, which they've come out and said is not going to be like the focus of the game. But man, did it look fucking fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it really did. And my overall feeling from watching it was you guys have made some really good decisions. Let the Marvel Universe have the movie. You guys keep the game and we are all going to be gojillionaires.
Mm-hmm.
I say we, not me at all. But I also really loved, like, this is the fucking world that we live in now. The Spider-Man video game trailer had a post-credit scene.
That's awesome.
Which was a little ridiculous, but you see a brown kid taking pictures of what Spidey has done, and you hear a guy say, Miles, come on, and he turns around and it's Miles Morales. So that was really like, I don't know, like I like things like that just makes me feel like you get it.
They do. I feel like even though I'm more excited for God of War than I am for Spider-Man, that doesn't, like, that is not to indicate that I'm not super excited for Spider-Man, but I feel like the Spider-Man game was the only game that I saw out of the big three press conferences that was a system seller. Like, I don't think Nintendo showed anything. I don't think Microsoft showed anything where it's like, all right, I have to get this to play this game. But Spider-Man is a console exclusive. It is only going to be on PS4, and it looks good enough to be like, if you were on the fence of what system you were going to buy, that's the one. Like, because God of War is not coming till 2018. Detroit Becoming Human is not 2018. Spider-Man, I don't even think, is till 2018. But that was still the one where it was like, all right, yeah, I got to have that. That's the one.
I agree with that. And what's funny to me is, and this might just be my own personal experience, but what's funny to me is as I was watching it, I was also thinking this game would be the reason to buy a system. And the last system that I bought personally by myself before you and I were conjoined,
a thing,
was the original Xbox. And the reason that I bought that original Xbox was for the Spider-Man game.
Was for Spider-Man 2?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
And
this,
I thought
this
that
game
it was,
looks incredible. The movement of Spider-Man, the fluidity of the combat, it does feel very reminiscent of the Rocksteady Batman games, but it seems to make more sense that Spider-Man is doing these things. There was a lot of interactivity with the environments. The swinging looked really cool. If a little
it
bit slow,
very, well,
but
it
seemed
it
very
seemed
natural.
Natural, yeah. And very, because that was one thing that I'll say about the previous Spider-Man game. I loved that game. I mean, obviously, I bought the system for it. And I actually, I think that might have been the only game I ever even owned on that before I sold it to you. But that was one thing about that one is I have anxiety issues when I play video games, and I would have little mini panic attacks when it was time to swing around and whatnot because it was fast. And I was like, I'm not fast enough for this. This one felt very fluid and very intuitive and very natural, because that dynamic is not necessarily something that's going to come to you automatically, because you know we don't often spend our time swinging through buildings and things like that. So
maybe you don't.
Well, you know,
you don't know what I do all day.
My priorities, but it seemed very smooth.
Yeah,
very
it looked
and very polished. The humor in it was great. The acting was great. The character design looks great. The choice of villain, and that might just be who they're choosing to show off for the trailer, was
Mr.
Unusual.
Negative. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a cool villain, but there's also, not in the pantheon of Spidey right. villains.
But,
like,
but if you think about it, Spidey's notable pantheon belongs to Marvel right now because they're jumping into the movie universe. So there right. might be something to do with that also that we can't, you know, we can't put Vulture in this game because Vulture is currently over here doing this thing. So, but I'm not opposed to that. You know, I have said over and over again that I love Batman down to my toesies, but every time a new Batman thing comes out, I feel like I'm watching the same things over and over and over again. So I'm not upset at a deep cut because I think you can tell more interesting stories that way.
Yeah, I am personally ready to make superhero video games great again. And I think that's what they did.
Okay.
So that's what grade would you give the Sony conference? Or presentation. It wasn't really a conference.
Right. Again, this is hard for me. Like I'm gonna say B+ again because I thought the games were out of control good, and I am super hyped for most of them. There was a very small number where I was like, but again, no real stage show. Like, and I mean, I know you don't have any hardware, and but like, come with something.
Well, they had that really cool.
You're excited to be here.
They had that really cool sitar player and the whole Indian band thing going on in the beginning before the Uncharted thing. Like for me, I give their show.
You know what
an
though?
A.
You know what? I'm going to take this back. I am going to give it back because I'm going to give it an A because I just remembered the God of War sand art.
That was a different thing. That was the E3 Coliseum. That was also
oh,
very
shit.
Cool.
Okay, then they can stay a B. If they had put that sand art thing with the main show, then I would have given them an A.
Yeah, that was cool, but I give it an A. The games are the games that I want to play. I thought the trailers were, what they showed was great. And ending with that, with God of War and Spidey.
Yeah.
You win.
I just sort of felt like I was watching a YouTube playlist, though, and not an E3 show, you know?
That's fair.
Because I have gone back and watched those trailers, and I have actually watched them in a playlist, and like it was a very similar feeling. Like, we're just going to go one after one after one after one. So, yeah.
All right. So last thing we're going to talk about for the evening, because we're running long. We're already at 58 minutes. So let's just end it here with Microsoft, their big Xbox, the big reveal of what Project Scorpio is now being called, which is the Xbox One X, which is a little confusing because that's very similar to the also on the market Xbox One S. And if you are in a retail situation now, both of us have worked retail. I know this is something that Chris and I have talked about on the show before.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of disappointed kids at Christmas when they get the S instead of the X because grandma didn't understand.
Right. Like, they're so similar. And like, Chris and I have talked about it with what Nintendo has done with the 3DS, because you had the 3DS and the new 3DS and the new 3DS XL. And now you have the 3DS and the 2DS and now the new 2DS and now the new 2DS. Like, that, it's fucking shitty naming conventions. That's not a good idea. And having X and S as part of, like, those are way too close for the mumble mouthed motherfuckers that we are most
like,
of the time.
This system has three X's in it now. It's like you've gone around the bed, kids.
Reel it in. It's a fucking horrible name. And while they did show some pretty cool games, this system, they announced it. It is the big selling point of the Xbox One X is that it is a 6 teraflop 4K system, whereas the PS4 Pro is a 4 teraflop 4K system. Now, what that means to the average consumer is fuck all, because most of us don't own 4K televisions that it's going to make that big of a difference on. And they announced the price for it. It will be on sale this year, November 7th, for $499, which is $100 more expensive than a PS4 Pro. And I don't feel like Microsoft came with any games that I looked at and said, yes, I need to now get the most expensive Xbox to play these games. They showed Forza Motorsport, which looks incredible. And
okay,
I know
but
for
we have
racing
to talk
game
about
fans,
that for a second.
For racing game fans, Forza has supplanted Gran Turismo as the premier franchise, and they're going to spend the money on it. Like, that I understand. The
yes, but
rest
can
of
we,
it, though...
Can we just talk for a second about how the... How we announce this game and how we talk about this is that we bring a car on stage and tell you the specifications of the car.
The new,
like,
Porsche,
why are you selling me a car?
Whatever. Yeah, it was.
Why is
it
this
was weird.
Here? Why are you telling me what this car can do? Like, what? And then, like, they trotted out
weird.
The two like female race car drivers, which seemed really forced to me, and. I don't know. I was like, what? Like, this is what we're coming out of the gate with. And I know that there's a niche market. I understand that. I know that racing kids are hard racing kids, but that's not all of us. And that seemed an unusual first pitch.
Well,
but
Chris,
what struck
and I...
me about this is it didn't seem like this seemed like they were playing it like a full console launch. They weren't playing it like this is just the updated version of this
right.
thing or like the PS4 Pro. They weren't playing it like that at all. They were playing it like a full blown. There are pyrotechnics coming out of the floor console launch. And it seemed to me like they were trying to get a redo on last year. Like now
that
we don't have any console really competition, we're trying to win by having the fancy thing. And it the whole thing just seemed like, do you guys even believe what you're saying here? Like,
yeah, Chris and I talked about last week on the prediction show that this is going to be possibly the last console that Microsoft puts out, mostly because they touted up on stage that they were going to show like 42 games, and 22 of those 42 were going to be Xbox exclusive, except that there is not one, and this isn't necessarily a bad thing, but the marketing behind it was kind of shitty, and the way that they were touting it up on stage, because there's not one game that is coming to the Xbox One or the Xbox One X, because all games are going to be playable on both systems, very similar to how the PS4 and the PS4 Pro were. Like, there aren't going to be games that are exclusive to the upgraded system. But all the Microsoft games are also going to be available on Windows 10 PCs. So they are not, they have no console exclusivity. If you own...
Well, that's not true. They do have console exclusivity. They don't have overall exclusivity.
Well, yeah, okay. Yeah,
because they might be the only console that's having, but you can also get it on PC. And that was kind of another thing. I felt like there were several things in this show that were...
intentionally misleading.
Yes, because I started to get a little bit hyped because there were backwards compatibility rumblings, and you're going to be able to play games all the way back to Xbox. And I was like, that's it. They figured it out. They took the one thing that all of us have been screaming about for years of, you keep coming out with these new systems and they're getting more and more expensive, and all the rest of my shit is just a coaster now because you don't have backwards compatibility, and that's bullshit, and you need to stop doing that. So I really felt like they were like, okay, we have to pull out a win here. We're going to give everybody the one thing that nobody thought they were going to get, and we're going to do backwards compatibility. Except they're not, because in my mind, when I hear backwards compatibility, I hear I can go to my old busted CD holder and pull out one of my Xbox discs and slide it into the Xbox One X and pick up a controller and play it. And oh no, you cannot. Their backwards compatibility is the same thing that Nintendo has done, in which they are making older titles available for download in the library, but you have to pay for them. You have to buy them again, just like with Nintendo. And it's like, that is not why people wanted backwards compatibility. People did not want backwards compatibility because these games were just so fantastical and I have to keep playing them. Like, a big part of that is because I already have a huge library of games.
Right. And I want to play Voodoo Vince.
I can't because I don't have my Xbox anymore.
I want to
play the thing
anymore
that I've currently purchased. And there is a lot of people that trade in or sell their whatever generation they have to be able to buy the new generation. Like, people like us, I don't think are the norm that have, you know, six generations of Nintendo sitting around the house somewhere. Like, you know, if I want to play Duck Hunt, I can play Duck Hunt. I don't have to go onto the Nintendo library and download and buy the original Super Mario games because I can just stick it in my top loader. But I don't think most people are like that. I think that most people do get rid of their current system to upgrade their new system. And that's
kind of the way it's always been.
But I understand that, but that's also always been a problem. And that's why why it's always hard to get your parents to concede to buying you the new system because they're like, I dropped $1,000 between the system and all the games I bought for you, and that's just junk now?
You're just going to give that away for pennies on the dollar? And you're like, well, because the new cool thing is
When we've been telling the industry that we want backwards compatibility, what we're saying is not that we want access to be able to purchase this old shit again. We want our old shit that we already have to work. And I felt like that was really, really misleading. I don't, even when they were explaining what it was on stage, I still felt like they were not being forthright with what it actually was.
Well, and they were doing that with the video packages as well, because a game would come out and it would say exclusive.
And then there'd be a little thing on the bottom and say, you know,
console launch exclusive.
Console launch exclusive. Which that means it'll
be available on Xbox One for
PlayStation in 6 months. Yeah. Tomb Raider was a console launch exclusive, but I played
for
Tomb Raider
a year. And we haven't.
So I feel like a lot of what they were doing was a lot of smoke and mirrors and a lot of, you know, I'm going to say things in this voice and then there's going to be the lights are going to come on and everyone's going to go, woo. And I mean, I will say, and I've kind of always felt this way, but while watching the PlayStation show, they kept cutting to the crowd for crowd reactions, and the crowd was not reacting.
There was a
smattering of applause. Most everyone was sitting in the office on their computer. It was obvious that they were all tech people, either writers or bloggers or like whatever. It was mostly media, I think, that was in there watching the show, and they would applaud, but there was really nothing to jump up out of your seat about because it wasn't a full stage show. It was just trailers. I sort of felt like they should stop cutting to the audience for reaction shots because that that wasn't looking good. However, at the Microsoft one, I mean, they were chugging Mountain Dew by the barrelfuls and climbing out of their seats and jumping up and down and cheering and hurrahing, and it was like, ooh.
The Microsoft show felt very much how the PlayStation Experience shows feel and how the Nintendo shows feel. Like whenever Nintendo does shit with a live audience or Sony does their PlayStation Experience, they get those big crowd reactions. And when they showed some of the games that Xbox gamers are super excited for, like Crackdown 3 or the new Rare game Sea of Thieves, which in my prediction, I think I called it pretty right last week, it's going to look amazing. But it's not going to be a system seller because it's just a weird pirating game and it didn't.
That seemed a strange choice for me. There were a couple of them that seemed strange. The weirdest one was that Lucky's Adventure Tale,
is that game for?
I was watching
Xbox?
This and saying, like, this is a Nintendo game. They had the big buttons like I was just talking about with Super Mario
with
Yoshi Wii U.
and it was weird.
The coins and the jumping around and he did the tail flip attack thing just like Tails did, which I know is not a Nintendo game, but the whole time I'm watching, I'm like, why are you putting a Nintendo game out on this? It's like they were trying to be like, no, we promise Xbox isn't just for bros. Like,
yeah, it was sandwiched in between. It was sandwiched in between all these really like aggro, aggressively
shooters
bloody
and
games.
Like really violently bloody. I don't think I'm alone in having that image of Xbox that like.
No, I think if you're a pretty fair estimation.
If your idea of a good time, and I hate to be disparaging, and I understand that you can't lump people together in stereotypes and all that, but it's more the feeling that I get from the company than it is the fans and people like that. But I just sort of feel like if your idea of a good time on a Saturday night is calling your bros a pussy over your headset, Xbox is the system for you. You know, like Halo and Madden and
Gears of War and Crackdown.
Of War.
And Crackdown looks fun, but like even even with the big Crackdown 3 trailer, and Crackdown was a very successful franchise on, I think it was 360, was Crackdown and Crackdown 2. But like, Terry Crews isn't relevant anymore. And if that's going to be your big marketing push, like, come on, man. We have moved on from the Terry Crews shit years ago. Like, what I find really strange, especially about this thing being priced at $500, is if it is $100 more than a PS4 Pro. So basically, for that extra $100, I could buy the PS4 Pro, Horizon Zero Dawn, the Uncharted Collection, or Uncharted 4, and still probably have a couple bucks left over. Or I could buy an Xbox One X and then have to drop another $60 on a game that I could just buy on my PC. I don't know this for a fact, to steal from Bill Maher. I don't know this from a fact, but I'm pretty sure it's true. Most of us who have modern consoles have a computer that can play these games. I can just, if they're like the Xbox.
I don't know that I'm necessarily going to agree with that.
The one Xbox game that they showed that is a true exclusive to Microsoft was Cuphead. My computer.
Yeah, that's the only one that pisses me off.
My computer, our computer, can play Cuphead. I am not left out in the cold on this.
Cuphead is not really what we're talking about here. Our computer is not going to play.
I just don't see who this system is for.
But, however, I will say that if you have a PC, you're going to get a lot more value out of that, obviously, than you're going to get out of an Xbox.
I just don't see, if I already was an Xbox One owner, I don't see myself upgrading.
Do they even play Blu-rays yet?
Yeah, this should play, yeah. But I don't see, like, if I'm an Xbox One gamer, I don't see myself upgrading at the cost of $500.
Oh, no.
That's
no.
just...
No, the only upgrades they're going to get are from people like... I mean, you know the kind of people. Mm-hmm. Dean would be able to speak to this beautifully because I'm sure he has met these kind of people working where he has worked numerous times of... I just have to have the latest thing because it's the latest thing and this pedal and this amp and this, you know, whatever. It's
right.
Mine's fancier than yours. It's fancy because mine has 6 teraflops. And it's like, I don't know how much authenticity there is to that. I don't know how much, like, I'm buying this because I find this to be a legitimate asset, or I'm buying this because I'm trying to show off.
Yeah. Well, and of the Microsoft exclusive games that they showed...
We're being really mean to Xbox people. I'm very sorry,
this,
Xbox people.
No, look, this is not the show for Xbox listeners. Chris and I have clearly established that over the last 253 shows before this
I know,
one.
But I feel like I'm, I feel like I'm not, speaking...
We're just not fans.
I feel like I'm speaking to the character of people that are fans of Xbox, though. Like, I don't even feel like I'm disparaging the system at this point. Like, I feel like I'm calling the people that have Xboxes douchebags. And I do believe that to an extent, and I'm really sorry for you, but I feel like that comes from the company. You know, like, some stereotypes are stereotypes for a reason, and when I hear Xbox, I think Mountain Dew. And those two things together conjure up a very specific image for me. And there was really very little in the show that pulled me away from that image. And in fact, the times that they tried with Super Lucky's Tale and Cuphead and things, it felt very odd. It felt very odd that they were trying to force these. There was one, I don't even remember the title, but there was one that was like super arty, that looked like that had the owl and
Ori yes. and the Will-O-Wisps.
Yeah, like they were obviously trying to be like, okay, well, we have to have the super arty indie thing, and then we have to have the one for the kids, and then we have to have the nostalgia one, and then we have to have the one that looks like it's for the kids, but it's really for the older people. Like, those that were peppered in there just screamed to me.
We're just checking off boxes. Yeah, we're just checking off boxes on a list.
And that probably is my own shit. That, like, that probably, we should be giving them credit for, like, you are seeing that the market is shifting and you're trying to go with it. And that is admirable. And we should be giving them credit for that. But we're kind of shitty people. And we're mostly just like, don't try to be extra.
I, like, really, it just comes down to me, for me, like, if I can play this on a PC, why am I giving you an additional $500? Right. Like, they're just, there didn't seem to be, because there are no console exclusives.
However, we have to say the kind of PC that you would have to deliver the output that you're going to get in some of these games on the Xbox X, like, you're getting in, like, Alienware levels of PCing.
To a point, yes, but those, see, because, like, that's the thing, that the level of graphics that the Xbox One X is able to produce now are not in your average $400 PC that you pick up, you know, when you need a new thing to type emails on. But in a year or two, it will be.
I don't know if I buy that. But I also feel like there is some overlap in the Xbox fan base and the PC fan base. So I do think they're going to lose out, because I feel like there are enough people that do have powerful enough systems that are not going to see the reason to have both.
Yeah, I didn't see a reason to upgrade here. Like I said, if I were already an Xbox One gamer,
the price going away.
The price is just crazy. $500.
If you have an Xbox One, you kind of just got an Xbox One for all this kind of crazy money, and then you're right away going to drop all this crazy money again.
Right.
Like,
now, to be fair, $400. It's $100 cheaper. And you get all of the PlayStation exclusives that you cannot play on a PC.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that, like, the value proposition, look, Sony is number one right now, and they're doing a lot of stuff that I don't necessarily agree with, but it's the stuff that people in the number one position do. Like, the reason that Minecraft, like, because Xbox did announce that Minecraft is going to be cross-console supported multiplayer, so you can play with Switch and PCs, but Sony is not allowing it, and it's a Sony decision. And the reason that Sony is not allowing it is because they have to pay a certain amount of money to Microsoft and operate within their infrastructure, and they don't want to, even though that's what their gamers want to. But they're number one. They don't have to do that right now. I disagree with that decision, but whatever. But the value proposition of 400, like, if I'm going to spend $500, I can get the PS4 Pro and Horizon game.
Yeah, you just said that.
Versus just a system. It just doesn't seem worth it.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I do want to touch on Minecraft for just a second, because
the 4K mod for Minecraft?
Yeah. Am I the only one that thinks it is really, really stupid to get 4K graphics on some pixels? Like, this is the whole point of Minecraft. And I'm not going to say that when they panned across that thing and the sun shone and there's leaves, like, sure, it's beautiful. I don't care that it's beautiful. That's not the point of Minecraft. Look at the detail on that 4x4 box. Like, what?
That seemed to me, and I really love the aesthetic of Minecraft. I like a lot of the stuff that is involved with Minecraft. Looking at that, it felt like a very, like you said, it felt like a very bro-y kind of decision of,
Johnson,
like,
what are the kids out there playing today? Yeah. Get some of that. Get some of that stuff that the kids are playing today. We're losing the war, Johnson.
Put that in our Minecraft. Like, and Microsoft owns Mojang now, and they can do whatever the hell they want with Minecraft. And it's awesome that you'll be able, if you own a Switch, if you play on PC, if you play on your phone, if you play on a tablet, if you play on an Xbox console, like, basically anything other than a Sony system, you'll be able to play cross-platform. That's great. Yeah. It's the same thing with Rocket League. Sony is not allowing cross-play with Rocket League while everybody else is, and that's awesome. But I...
Yeah, but, like, up until this point, neither of those things existed, and I have never had a hard time finding people to play Minecraft or Rocket League with.
Well, no, like, and Microsoft did the same thing during the 360 time. They didn't allow crossplay. Like, when Microsoft was on top with the 360, they did not allow crossplay.
Yeah,
because they were on top and they didn't have to.
Right, and you don't have to.
So,
The Minecraft thing is cool, and I like all the servers coming together and whatnot, and I do know that there is still a large community, and I know that it's still an active community. It felt, my impression was when I was watching it is, first of all, I was like, this is ridiculous that we have high res pixels. Like, that's the surely your time and resources could have been spent somewhere better. But whatever, if that's what you want, that's what you want. But what I was thinking while I was watching it was like, I was like, you know, I feel like, why are we watching something about Minecraft? It's a huge community. It's got a great following. It's wonderful and everything. But to trot that out at an E3, it just seemed a little like not on that level. Like, I don't know. And again, maybe it's my own shit because our kids have kind of drifted away from Minecraft a little bit. Maybe I'm projecting more onto that than actually exists. And maybe it is just as big as it always has been and always will be and whatever. But it just seemed a little late to be doing this, I guess, is what I'm saying. That I more would have expected this whole announcement and presentation like last year or the year before.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Last year, they did the really cool VR thing with Minecraft that looked
really
neat, the 3D thing.
At that time, I still felt like Minecraft was on its way up. And at this point, I by no stretch of the imagination do I think it's going down. And I think that Minecraft is something that's going to be ubiquitous in our lives for a long time to come. But I do feel that it has plateaued.
I think that's true. But what the hell do we know? We're not the market for Minecraft.
Right.
So I don't know what we need to start wrapping up here because we're going a little bit long. But what grade would you give the Microsoft show?
This is a hard one. I feel like I'm giving everybody the same grade, but for like completely different reasons. I'm gonna give Xbox a B minus. My gut is to give them a C, but I sort of feel like we're hating on Xbox a little bit, and I kind of feel like that's just because we're not Xbox people, and I feel like we're being a touch unfair here. But I'm gonna give it a B minus because they did come with the show that I was expecting from everybody, and they're the only ones that came with the show, and I appreciate that. But I also felt like it was a bit of snake oil, and I found that very off-putting. There were several things that I felt they were being really misleading about, and they have also made some really bizarre choices. Or like, I'm not going to say that you know, silly games and cute games and family games have never existed on the Xbox. Obviously they have, but that's never what they've pushed. From the company themselves, they've always pushed a more bro system of, you know, hitting really hard on Halo and things like that. Like, you know, these other consoles are for the family. This one's for the gamer. And you know what I mean? Like, Xbox is extreme. Like, I feel like that is the image that they have portrayed. So for them to take such a sharp turn on that was off-putting.
I think that's fair. I, however, have no qualms about giving them a C. I don't give a shit. I think they earn that sort of thing, mostly because the Xbox One X is a fucking shitty name. Project Scorpio does reek of like old men in suits desperately trying to be cool, but it's cooler
X. Project Scorpio reminds me of like that kid in high school, and I'm not going to name his name in case he might be listening, and because I do love him dearly, I don't want him to feel bad. But
you know, it's you, Jeffrey.
I'm Jerry, actually.
Fuck you, Jerry.
But you know, the kid that always wore like the silk button down short sleeve shirts that had like the dragon embroidered on the back.
You're talking about Chris. That's
okay. Well, that's what Project Scorpio says to me. Or like the big like silk screen like fucking tiger coming down the front, and like, yeah, it just.
That period in the early 2000s when everybody thought club shirts were a good idea. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. You're just,
but it's
like,
a better, but that's still better than Xbox One X. That's a horrible fucking name.
Sure. You know,
they called the system
I've
the
given
Ebonics.
Up on,
that's
on
dumb.
Names because way back in the day, way back when you and I were still working at fucking video game stores and shit,
yeah.
When there first started being the whispers of what would become the Wii, and there was talk of it being backwards compatible across the board and truly backwards compatible, of there actually being slots for cartridges and things like that. And at that time it was called the Nintendo Revolution, was the project title at the time. And I was like, I have just exploded from coolness. That is the most, that's a great name. This is a super awesome system. Everything about this, I am just, I'm like the horse from Bravest Warriors. Like, I have seen into the abyss, and I was, and then with every single announcement that came out, they chipped away and they chipped away and they chipped away and they chipped away. And the very last thing was, there's been a name change. We're calling it the Wii. And I was like,
ugh.
Wow.
Gross.
I have never gone from such a high of over something to such a level of disinterest. Like, I was just, I'm like, you've broken my heart, Nintendo. You're going down a path I can't follow. And so, like, ever since then, I sort of expect to roll my eyes at console names and shit like that. And
that's
just,
true.
Yeah, whatever.
But yeah, I give them a C. The games that they showed obviously aren't for me, but even looking at it objectively, they're all shooters. Sea of Thieves looks somewhat interesting, but Rare does not have the track record that they used to have.
That looks super clunky to me.
Yeah, Rare does not make good games anymore, so I'm not
confident
in that. Forza looked great.
And additionally, they got an obviously not Irish person to play this, like, stereotypically broguish pirate, and, like, his accent kept slipping, and I was like, what is even happening here?
But
the graphics didn't look stellar. That whole thing just felt really clunky to me. That felt like a game you would play in the computer lab in your elementary school.
Yeah,
You have to solve the pirate puzzle, and then you have to do some math problems to rescue. Like, that's kind of what it felt like. And I get that that's a horrible insult, but that's kind of what that felt like to me.
Well, I will leave it with this, because I really am stuck on the name thing, and I just can't get past it, because I hate it so much. Calling your system the Xbox One X is basically the equivalent of picking Tim Kaine as your vice presidential candidate.
Whoa.
And that's our show. Join us next week when Tiff won't be here, but Chris will be back. He will have moved into his new house and have his new recording studio. It's super fancy. It's got, like, mixing boards and all types of shit, and it's really high tech and really awesome. Or he'll just be recording in front of a fan again. I don't know. I haven't been invited, so whatever, Chris, that's fine. Once again, you can get in touch with us at mail@geekade.com, as well as all flavors. I'm going to read this from his thing, as well as all flavors of social media that we inhabit. You can like us on Facebook, find us on Instagram @GeekAid, subscribe to our YouTube and Twitch channels for all our latest video content, and follow us on Twitter @the_GeekAid. You can also find us individually on Twitter. Chris is @GeekAidChris, that's KRIS, and I am @GeekAidDan. Tiff is not on Twitter because she's way too cool. You're way too cool to twit. If you're interested in more information about anything we discussed tonight, be sure to check out the show notes. And while you're at it, you can also subscribe to this and any of our other wonderful podcasts on iTunes or Stitcher, where if you're super nice, you can leave us a review, because any and all feedback is welcome and appreciated. We'd also like to thank our intrepid editor, Evan, for making the show listenable for all you folks. And we'd finally like to thank Mark TDK Knight for our show's theme. You can check him out on SoundCloud and Bandcamp, or his website, which we will also have a link to in the show notes. Again, always remember to keep your eyes on geekade.com, where we post something new almost every single day. On behalf of myself, Chris, and my smoking hot wife, Tiff, keep playing games. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie.